हे राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरी वरदारी रे, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरी वरदारी। यशोरनंदन व्रजचंद्ररंजन यशोरनंदन व्रजचंद्ररंजन जमुना चिरावनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरी वरदारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरी वरदारी। यशोदनंदन व्रजचंद्ररंजन यशोदनंदन व्रजचंद्ररंजन जमुना तीरावरचारी। जामुना तीरावरचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। ओम विश्वनाथ परमहंस परिव्राज तुलसी समाद वाचन भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री भोपाल की जय। स्कंद फाउंडर चाय श्री भोपाल की जय। त्रिगुप्त वैष्णविंद की जय। रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम सिंह हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर श्री बासरी गौर भक्तविंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा माधव गोकुलनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन सिंधुर धाम की, श्री नवदीप सिमाय धाम की, श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, गंगमाई चमुनामाई की, तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय। साग वेद भक्त वृंद की जय। हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। जय निताय गोप्रेमानंदी। All glories to the assembled devotees, glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Om Agyanam Thanandasya Agyanam Gyanam Salakaya Chakshur Mitam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamineti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shrinavari Pastari Sadharini. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Garadhara Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sapti Kanchana Gaurange, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vishabhana Sri Devi Devi, Pranamami, Hare Priye. Sri Sri Radhastami Ki. Thought we can hear some of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Bhakti Pushamad has compiled some of the stories in a book from different sources, so we can read some of those. As we've heard, that Srimati Radharani is the personification of the Haridini Shakti, pleasure potency. Now the spiritual world is Samvit, Sandhini, and Haladini. They're the spiritual equivalents like we have Rajatama here. And there they have Sachit Ananda. They're the mixed modes. That's the ambience of the spiritual world. All coming from Krishna's Sarup Shakti, his personal form, everything emanates. From the personal form of the Lord, he is called Shaktiman. And the different energies, the cognizant energy and the pleasure potency, and the creative or the... you can see the energy that creates, Balaram is a personification of the Samvet, the existence. And so there's the existence, potency. Then within that existence, that's the field, and all the things are created. The scenery is created, spiritual scenery. Like here, like nature here, trees, rivers, birds, animals. But all made of Sachit Ananda, not Rajatama and Sattva. And there's no... things aren't subject to time, things aren't subject to pressures that we have here. It's called Vaikuntha, without any pressure. There's no pressure to eat, sleep, mate, or defend. Those pressures are absent there. So you have the whole day free, in other words, because in the material world, our whole day is spent on those getting relief from those pressures. Right, of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. That's material life. That's all everybody does in the material world. So that's absent there. Vaikuntha. These kuntas aren't there. These pressures aren't there. These anxieties. You know, without anxiety. It's an anxiety to have to eat. Is a great anxiety, right? Two or three times a day. Go to the market, grow the vegetables, carry it home, cook it, cut it, clean it, wash the pots. Big problem. If you think about it, two or three times a day, just so you won't suffer. That's all. And then what to speak of all the other things? sleeping, and then defending yourself, so many other things. All that is absent there. Vaikuntha. All the spiritual worlds are like that. This place is for those who have left the spiritual world, who desire and to think independently of Krishna, then this is a special creation, this Devidham. So we're sent here. We're some of those unfortunate people who designed a separate existence than that of Krishna's pleasure or Krishna's desire. Became a little selfish. So to get purified of that desire, then we're sent to this Devidham, material world. And then we try to be independent, we try to show our independence, how we're independent, we can do, we can be successful, we can control the environment, and then we can actually enjoy it. This is the illusion, it's called Maya of the material world. So when you've been bashed long enough, when you've been slapped or kicked long enough in that endeavor, and always, it always ends in frustration. You never actually achieve what we. No one's ever been successful materially. There's never been a successful materialist. Not for long. Everyone dies. So all your, as Prahlad says, all the plans we're making for the future, they practically had the reverse effect. We get the opposite effect than what we wanted. Right? We get old, sick, die, then it's all gone, and then so we didn't achieve what we actually wanted. We wanted a comfortable situation to enjoy it. So we never get that. So that's absent in the spiritual world. So this world is to bring us to make us understand why I'm banging my head like this and I'm not really getting anywhere. You have to have some help to understand that, like the sadhu and the guru, that it's futile to go in this direction. It's actually not going to happen. It's Maya, that which is not. then the question is, so what else is there besides this? What else is there to do besides it, trying to eat, sleep, enjoy, and defend successfully? That is a big question of the human being. Is there something else? Is there something else? They can ask this question. So then we're fortunate, then we get information of this Paraprakriti, this other dimension, another world, which is the actual reality. This world is actually like an imposition and that is a dream. But it's so well orchestrated that we really believe it. Actually, it's a dreamlike existence because what we want is a fantasy. We're living in a world of fantasy. We're living in the hopes that in the future we'll be satisfied and happy. Right? Want anything else? Anyone want anything else? we're hoping for that. In the future we'll be satisfied and happy. So in the with spiritual knowledge, we understand gradually that it's not available in the material world because it's temporary and it's full of misery. That's how it's created. That's the very nature of this material world. It's temporary and it's miserable, according to Krishna. He knows what he's talking about. It's his program. So we better believe him and stop wasting our time. So then we turn around and say, hey, if we can't, let's go back to the real place. And we get on our hands and knees and we say, I'm sorry, God, please forgive me. I made an ass of myself. Please forgive those things and help me get out of here. I need help. I'm not that independent maverick that I thought I was. Please help me. And now life, you're right, life really has some taken direction now. You admitting failure in the material world. You admit I'm a failure. I'm not what I thought I was. I don't have that ability. Then the surrender starts from that situation. First realize God's greatness, how great He is. That's the first step. And according to your inclination, productivity, where you'll go into the spiritual world is vast, three times the size of the material universes, if they can be measured. One universe is 4 billion miles. But it's given an example, because we can't imagine how large this cosmic immanent face is. It's given an example, this is about 1/4 the size. Anyway, it's unlimited. And within those planets, there's different, within the spiritual sky, there are different places we can go according to our inclination. Vaikuntha planets, and Ayodhya, Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan, different. According to our desires, there's different places to go where we can actually achieve what we want, that eternal happiness. From the very outskirts of the spiritual world and the Vaikuntha planets, where we get to a place where there's no anxiety. We have a spiritual body, fantastic, 4 arms, beautiful. Don't have to work, surrounded by loving friends and all devotees of Narayana. And you can move about on your private airplanes and enjoy and be very happy there as a devotee. That's the outer limits. It's a time, it's success, complete. But the interaction with Narayana, the Lord, Krishna, may not be very much. Maybe hardly anything. But you'll know He's there. You'll be happy that He's the Lord and He's devotee. And we're carrying our life very wonderfully. But then if you move up to the different spiritual planetary systems, then you can get actually closer and closer to the Lord. And then if that finds its perfection in Goloka, Vrindavan. There the Lord's displays the most intimacy, far greater than any other place. Because there Krishna doesn't act as God. He's not God there. When he leaves Vrindavan, then he becomes God. But when he's in Vrindavan, he's something, he's greater than God. God is great, right? We love God because he's great, right? He's great, he's the maintainer, destroyer, the creator, he can fulfill all desires, he can take away all our problems. Krishna's greater than that. Krishna's greater than that. His personality is great. His personality is fantastic. He's just a fantastic person. Narayana is fantastic because he's God. And he can give us everything we want. But you see in Golok, the qualification of those doctors there, they don't necessarily want anything for themselves. They're not interested in that so much. Because Krishna's personality is so overwhelming, is so satisfying. Not satisfying in one sense, because you can actually never get enough of Krishna. You can never see him enough, you can never hear him enough, you can never get enough of his association. But that his association, his proximity is so wonderful that you forget all about your own programs, your own likes and dislikes. So that's he's called the Supreme Personality. So Krishna, Madhav, Govinda, Nandanandan, that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayana is not his supreme personality. Dwarkadisha is not his supreme personality.
Mathuranath is not his supreme personality. Krishna is his supreme personality. And because he's not God, he's given up that identity of God because of the ambience there, because of the love of his devotees. There's a loving relationships which are constantly going on. Those devotees are so exalted that he actually forgets he's God. And then he's concerned with their happiness, and he's concerned with their association. So that's his business, how to bring my devotees happiness. And their consciousness is how to bring Krishna happiness. It's like here we started in this material world, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We want to be conscious of Krishna's happiness. What will make Krishna happy? We should follow that. Therefore we have the guru to instruct us how to behave in a way that will best make Krishna happy, satisfy Krishna, right? Take part in the Sankirtan movement that will please Krishna, you know? Chant Hare Krishna, distribute his books that will please Krishna. So there in that place where those pastimes are going on, then there's all the different levels, different types of relationships are going on also. And the function of Srimati Radharani, she holds the, because she's the head of the Haladini Shakti, pleasure potency, which is actually the best, right? Let's face it, that's what we're interested in, right? The cognizance, the understanding or knowledge, the ambience, the place, all the things, the stuff, the environment, it's all there actually to support our enjoyment. That's how we view it, right? It's natural. The main thing is how to, as a great environment, fantastic. You have a great understanding of everything, fantastic, but how are you going to use that? You want to enjoy it, right? That's the main thing. So the main business is enjoying. So that's Radharani's taken that position, the personification of the Haladini Shakti. and her specific flavor manifestation is in this Madhurya Ras. This is love, unwedded love, unlawful love, according to moralists. So this is considered the pinnacle of the love experience. Because the nature of that love, relationship, is separation. The amorous or the wedded Shakya and Parakya, as it's called, unwedded. That's illegal. It's not supposed to be, at least in cultured societies. In the West, we don't know about these things. But in cultured societies, there's no free mixing of unmarried opposite sex in that age group. So the very nature is separation. The very nature of that affair, that relationship, is it shouldn't really be there. Publicly, right? So that's the nature of it, nature of the relationship. So therefore, there's always that. But when they actually do meet, then the pleasure is experienced so much more. because of the anticipation and because of the separation. So then it's increased so much more. It's like, it's there in all of the relationships, but you know, the separation, when Krishna, he has to leave one relationship to, you know, he leaves the, in the morning, he leaves the Vatsala Ras. He's having Vatsala relationship with his mother, father, and the elder parents. So he's enjoying that rasa, and then he moves into the Shakya Ras with his friends. He goes to the forest with the cows, and he's enjoying that Shakya relationship. Then he sneaks off with midday, and has his Madhura relationships, conjugal relationships, and he enjoys that relationship. So he's always going from one to another. There's always separation, and when there's separation, the people are feeling pain. But the very nature of the parakya is that it is separation. It shouldn't even be there, actually. That union shouldn't be there. So that makes it very more exciting. Shouldn't be there. Now there's always, it could, you know, someone could come at any moment and catch us. So there's always that fear that it's gonna end soon. We're not supposed to be here. So there's so much enjoyment is there, but there's always that anticipation that it won't last. It won't last. So these two features, this union and separation, that's the ambience of the Krishna's pastimes. They're going on all the time, and they're necessary to enhance the love. Because after the separation, then the love increases, the desire increases, the longing increases. And the longer the separation, then the more that desire, stronger that desire for union comes again, it burns. And when there's final union, when they do meet again, then that's so much exalted than what it was last time because of that long separation. And then also that fear of going also increases, that he'll be leaving soon. That increases. So the love increases, the anxiety of spiritual anxiety of leaving also increases. This way they nourish each other, this Sambhog and Vipalamba. So they're both necessary in the dealings of love. Yeah? You know, those of you who are married, you know, before the marriage, the relationship is, you know, you're always showing your best side and always being helpful and being nice and opening doors, right? But that doesn't last, right? Once you're married, okay, they're mine, stamp, my property now, and all that, all those little things, that little sweet things, they go, right? So I've heard. But it's not like that in the parakriya, it remains. So that's what the Vrindavan pastimes are all about. Because this pleasure, as we just said, the pleasures are the greatest thing. So then the union of Radha and Krishna is the ultimate goal of Vrindavan. So everyone, more or less, everyone is working consciously or unconsciously towards fulfilling their desire. So some people are on the Vipalamba party, and some people support the Sambhog party. they're in different parties. So this way there's, you know, the dynamics are at play. It gets very intense sometimes. But Krishna is very determined, and he's very clever. And if the worst comes to the worst, then he becomes God. He remembers he's God, and he just adjusts things so he can. So he's very what's the word? Resourceful, Krishna. So we can read some of these pastimes of the Radha Krishna's meetings. So to meet Krishna, then the gopis would go, would make excuses. They have to make excuses to get out of the house and to be away from the elders. So they have their different things to do. They have to collect water from the Ganges. They have to go to the temple to worship Surya and other gods. You know, have to go to the market, things like that. So they know all, they know exactly where Krishna is. There's a whole network of spies and, you know, Vrindadevi is in charge of all these, or these parrots are flying around there. They're flying backwards and forwards, giving messages, where's Krishna now, what's he doing, what direction he's going in. So they know exactly where to meet. And there's other, you know, more obvious messages, like Krishna's flute. So this time, this is the pastime at Manasaganga. They go into the Manasaganga. Manasaganga was much bigger than it is now at that time. So the gopis are crossing by boat to go to the market to sell their yogurt, butter, etc. And there's an old boat there. The old boatman is laying down resting with his chadar over his head. And they say, "Hey, boatman, uti uti, wake up, take us across the Manasaganga." So they decide on the price, how much yogurt they will give him, how much butter they will give him. Then they agree, then he... So then he takes them halfway, then he starts to slow down and he stops rowing. I say, "What's happening?" He says, I'm a little old, I'm tired now. And I'm not very strong. If you feed me butter and yogurt, then I get some more strength, I can go." So then they feed him up. "Yeah, that's so nice. I need a little nap now." So then he takes a rest. "Say, come on, you've got to go to the market." "I mean, little nap." "While I'm there, you can just massage my hands and legs while I'm laying there." They say, "You rascal, get up, as we'll throw you overboard." So then, because they can also get angry. So then he starts roaring again. And then he's going really slow, and he's going really slow. And I say, "What's happening now?" I say, "It's a very old boat, and the boat is leaking. See, water's coming, you see? A lot of water. I don't think we're going to make it. The boat's too heavy. You better throw the any X, although there's too much weight here, so you have to throw things overboard." And the water was coming in. The actual boat was going down, so they had to throw their pots of milk and throw it over. Still not enough. You have to throw other things. So they have to throw their heavy jewelry. They're getting afraid. And the dark clouds are coming. The wind was blowing. It still wasn't enough. He said, "You have to throw your clothes over." He said, "You get rowing, and we slap your face." So then he's rowing, rowing, and then a storm comes. And the boat's rocking, and... And a really wild storm comes, and the boat's going up and down like that, and Radharani is being thrown around, and she's so scared, and she's thrown onto the boatman, and she's scared, and she's hanging onto the boatman. And he's very happy. Then there's something sticking in her, and she finds this. Is it Krishna? His flute. Krishna's flute stuck in his belt. He was actually taking guise of the boatman. So then everyone laughed at the great trick that Krishna had performed on him. And then by his mystic potency, then he made a little island in the middle of the Manasaganga. It's a very nice, peaceful, nice environment. All around there was a storm going on, so they had a nice private place, and they could enjoy their pastimes a bit more. Manasaganga ki jai. Then okay, then one time Krishna's out with the cows and the boys, and he's very eager to see Radharani. So he plays, he goes up in the Kadamba tree and he plays his flute. And he can make that flute chant Krishna, Radha's name, calling Radha, but only she can hear that, no one else can hear it. He's an expert with the flute player. So then she, yes, we should go to the forest, and they go to the forest. In the forest there's a deity of Suryadev. She worships Suryadev, a sun god. That's her. It's the deva. So she bought all this stuff for the worship. And Krishna's weighed in and he's asking Vrindadevi, where's Radha? I call her, but she's not coming. It's taken a long time. But Vrinda said, be patient, she's coming, don't worry. Then Radharani comes with Lalita and others. And Krishna's very happy to see Radha. And then Radha's friends, the Lalita Vishaka, they arrange for a nice place for Radha and Madhav to sit. And they offer an aarti and they fan them and they, you know, make nice ornaments for them, things like that. But unknown then, Kutila, is Radharani's sister-in-law, she comes. Now she's suspicious, not suspicious, she knows what's going on, there's an illicit affair. The husband, Abhimanyu, he doesn't know, but he's suspicious because everyone talks about it, but they never actually could catch Krishna. But here now, Kutila was always trying to find some fault, and so she happened on that conjure and she looked through and she saw, yes, now Radha and Krishna is together. He doesn't believe me, my brother doesn't believe me, now I'm going to tell him. So she went to the cow pastures where Abhimanyu was. She told him, I told you so many times about Krishna's dalliance with your wife, you never believe me, you never believe me, you always thought I'm telling you, now you come and see for yourself. Abhimanyu, picks up a stick. Oh, he's got his stick, he's a ghosh. So they he said, if it's true, I'll give Krishna a good lesson, and I'll never ever let Radharani out of the house again to do worship. He's angry, let's see. So then they come up, and Abhimanyu was very angry. Krishna, where is that Krishna? Where is that Krishna? And then they heard. Then they told, Shakyas told, Abhimanyu and Jatila are coming. Oh, Radharani said, I'm finished, I'll die. I'll die of shame now. How can I, my husband and my sister-in-law are coming. I'm gonna die. They'll kick me out of the house if they catch me. I'll never be able to come out. I'll never see you. Never be able to see you again, Krishna. Please help me. I'm taking shelter your lotus feet, Krishna. You're my only. What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? good job, Krishna's God. Here, somehow he remembers, so he can pull a lot of tricks out. So he says, "Don't worry, Radha. Don't worry. No one's ever died untimely by worshiping me." He said, I know your husband's a devotee of Kali, so I'll take a form of Kali and you worship me with your flowers, because he had all the paraphernalia for worshiping Suryadev. So then he took the form of Kali, black Kali, put his tongue out, holding the big choppers, and there's a jata flower, red flowers. And Abhimanyu comes in, where is that son of Nanda? Where is he? Where is he? I'll teach him a lesson. And Radharani is sitting at his feet offering some flowers. And he came running in, and then instead of Krishna, he saw Kali. And Kali is his worshipable deity. His sister Deva is Kali. So then, Ma, Kali. So then he pays his obeisances to Krishna and worships him. Oh, Bhagavati, please bless me. I'm an angry person. Please help me. Then he became embarrassed. Then he looked at Kutila and said, where is Krishna, Kutila? All I see is Radha very devotionally worshipping Mother Bhagavati. Everyone worships Mother Bhagavati. She's my most chaste wife. is offering these flowers at Devi's feet, and you're calling such a chaste lady like my wife a woman of no character? Oh, blame to you. Today I will excuse you, but if you ever falsely give a bad name to my good wife Radha, then I will punish you and throw you out of the house. When Kutila was chastised, she felt great shame and she slunk away. Then Abhimanyu said to Radharani, Srimati, you are blessed. You are the most pious. You are the most chaste. There is no one more chaste in Vrajamandal. Today my desire has been fulfilled. After so long, all my doubts about you have been cleared. From now on, I will not tolerate anyone blaspheming you. Please continue your worship to Mother Bhagavati in peace, without anxiety. Okay, now I'm going back to the look after the cows. So then he left, and the Shakyas came back, and they made a swing. They had some wonderful times, and Abhimanyu was very happy that his wife was such a chaste lady. all those tales were false. This way Krishna expertly resolves all the confrontations. So another time, this is the when Krishna called for Radharani, and she wasn't come. She didn't come, and she couldn't get out of the house. The dealer was sitting there with a stick. Her mother-in-law was sitting at the entrance to the courtyard, the door, and she just couldn't get out. So Krishna was getting very desperate. He wanted to see Radha really badly, and she wasn't coming. She wasn't coming. So he was crying, and he was almost fainting. So he told Shubal. He said, please help me, my heart is breaking. How can I see? Shubal said, my heart's breaking to see you in this condition, Krishna. What can I do? He said, I don't know. You can do something. You always help me. You're my best friend. I have to see Radha, please. He's held onto Shubal cloth. And somehow or other, you have to go to her house and bring her here. So he says, all right, I will go. I'll try my best. And when he was going, then Krishna embraced him. He said, Shubal, please bring my most dear Radharani as soon as possible. Otherwise my life will be finished. And so when he got there, he saw Jatila. So he's wondering what to do. He couldn't get in the courtyard. Then Jatila saw him. She said, well, Shubal, what are you doing wandering around here? Then he offered his obeisances and said, my dear grandmother, I've lost one of my calves. And she said, yes, but your face is so red wandering around in the sun, the hot sun. Come in. Come in to my, take shelter in my house. Go to my daughter-in-law's room, and her servants will give you some nice drinks and call off. So he said, thank you very much. So he immediately went to Radharani's room. Radhi was there, and she was sitting on the floor with her head in her hands and weeping, and the Shakyas were fanning her and trying to console her. And then she saw him. She said, oh, Shubal, where have you come? Have you seen Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? And he said, we've been waiting for you for a long time. I've been with the Krishna in Kokilvan. he's in great anxiety. He's feeling great separation from you. You should quickly come. She said, how can I come? You saw my mother-in-law sitting at the door. She says she's quite old and her eyesight is not very good. I could actually get past her. He said, but Kutila, my sister-in-law, I can't do it with her, you know. So I have a problem. You have to help me. What can I do? My Lord Krishna is laying on the ground. He's laying in the dust in a faint almost. I must go and save him. He's suffering so much. And she says, quickly go back, tell him the situation, I can't leave. He says, I can't go back. If I tell him the situation, you're not going to come, he may die. So then he said, I got an idea. He said, I'll dress you up in my clothes, and then you can walk out past Jatila. She won't recognize you. Eyes are not so good. She said, but I'm different from you. I got my long hair. Said, well, we'll tie it up, and I put it under my turban. Turban and top. She said, but I got other differences. She said, don't worry, we'll give you a calf, and you can hold it to your chest, and no one will be able to see that you're a girl. She said, good idea. So then they changed clothes, and they put some cloth, rolled some cloth up, and put it in balls, and put it in the blouse of Shuba, and put the calf in right around his hand, and took off her mascara and her lack of her feet and her sindur, and they dressed Shubala, and Shuba looked fantastic. He's the brother of Chandravali. He just looked like Radharani. Really, they were stunned when they saw him with his kajal and his sindur and his sari. Along, they put some braid on him also. So this way she, Radharani with the calf, then she went out. Because he told Radharani, this is a good plan because I already told your mother-in-law that I'm looking for a calf. So then she saw Subal going out with the calf. She says, oh, Subal, you found the calf. she managed to escape. So then Madhavani went straight till Kukilvan. And she came and she saw Krishna laying there. But Krishna couldn't recognize. He thought she was Shubal. And he thought, oh no, Shubal's come back without Radharani. What happened? Maybe her mother-in-law didn't allow her to come out. And then Krishna became very worried. Worrying why how. And then Radharani came and she saw Krishna and she became very ecstatic. And as she came close, he said, Shubal, you have come alone. Where's my Radharani who is more dear than my life? Where have you hidden her? Why are you giving me more pain by not revealing where she is? What kind of enjoyment are you deriving by giving me so much pain? If you have hidden her somewhere, then kindly bring her here and save my life. It's madness of love, separation. While speaking this way, Radha came very close to him. And then she told him the story. As you went, you told me to go to the cheetah's house, and he told the whole story. He couldn't get out because she couldn't come out because of the thing was there. And when she saw me, she asked, I explained how you're suffering from separation from her. And when Krishna heard this hopeless news, he said, you know all kinds of tricks, Shubal. Whenever I send you to bring Radharani, you always manage to bring her. You never have failed before. Why have you not succeeded this time? I cannot survive without her. I told you, if you don't bring her back, I'm going to give up my body. And I think I'm giving up my body. So if I give up my body, he said, you give her my peacock feather, my flute, and my ganjamala. You take that and give it to Srimati Radharani. Then Krishna started to cry, chanting Radha's name in separation. Of course, Radharani couldn't maintain her disguise any more, and she put the calf on the ground and uncovered her head, and her hair fell down. And when Krishna saw Shubha was actually Radha, then he was very happy, and he gave her a hug. And they enjoyed the association for quite some time. And then afterwards they went to the Jamuna. They got the messages that the Radharani or Shribal and the Lalita and that were going to the Jamuna to fetch water. So then they met at the Jamuna and they changed clothes again, and Radha went home and Krishna went home and everyone was happy. Shubal Shakavesh, that is called. Sometimes, one time we dressed it, one or two times we dressed Radharani in that dress with the dhoti and the pagri, the turban. Vrindavan, they do that. Many temples do that. Okay, one more. Okay, one time Radha Krishna were there and Radharani was upset. She said, "Dear Govinda, I can't show my face in Gokul. They all give me a bad name saying I'm Krishna Kalankini." That means I've been contaminated by Krishna. And all those gopis are in the other party, they're taking great happiness, they're enjoying all this propaganda, and but I'm suffering so much because of my relationship with you, all this infamy. What is my offense? Everyone loves you. Huh? Everyone, the whole world loves you. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they worship your lotus feet. The rishis are worshipping you. Everyone loves you. I love you and I get a bad name. I get defamed. Everyone else can love you and it's okay. It's not fair. And they're just giving me a bad name. And I'm thinking, I'm going to take poison. I'm going to commit suicide. I can't stand it anymore. Everyone can love you openly and worship you openly except me. When I do it, I get blamed. It's not fair. It's not right. I can't stand it anymore. Krishna was very concerned. He said, "Don't worry. I'll remove all your bad names. Don't worry. Very soon, all those people that have been giving you a bad name, they will eat their words. You see, my words are true." So early next morning, Krishna was quite young at that time. He was on the lap of Mother Yasoda and he fainted. And Yasoda became very anxious. "Krishna, darling, get up, get up. Krishna, wake up. Wait. Ah, Krishna, Krishna." He's calling, screaming. Not responding. So, big catastrophe. Everyone comes, everyone's laying there like he's no life. Oh boy, everyone's panicking and crying and wailing that Krishna's fainted. Then old Nanda came, the boys came, everyone was crying. And they were chanting different mantras, and Nanda sent all these servants out, "Go bring the got doctors," or nothing could cure Krishna. Then even Nanda was rushing around trying to find a doctor. And then he met, outside, right outside the palace when he came back, this wonderful young doctor. Who is, guess who, in disguise? Krishna expanded himself. This is when he becomes God again, right? Being resourceful. So Krishna expands himself into a doctor. And he was very beautiful, extraordinarily beautiful. His face like a lotus flower, and his eyes were like the rising sun color. And he's holding his Ayurvedic manuscripts and different medicines he had. And he said, "You should know I'm expert. Very expert, I can cure any kind of disease. Oh, please, come and sit down." He took him to the palace, washed his feet, worshipped him. "Please, please, my darling son Krishna has been unconscious." And then the Dr. Krishna took his pulse. He said, "Yes, I have diagnosed the disease, I have medicine to cure it. But I need one thing, anupana. If you can bring me this one thing, then my medicine will act." They said, "What is this anupana?" He said, "It's very specific. I require one chaste lady. She must bring water from the Jamuna in a pot with 1,000 holes in it. She must bring this pot across a bridge made of hair. If the patient takes the medicine mixed with that water, he'll be cured immediately." So Maharaj Nanda invited all the chaste ladies. Please bring water, but no one could do it. the water ran out, the pots had 1,000 holes. Then Nanda Rani was distressed. I will do it. So Krishna didn't want to embarrass his mother because she said, since my childhood I've only served my husband Nanda. I've known no other man. I will do this. And Krishna, doctor said, actually, only anything bought by the mother of the patient cannot be used. She can't bring it. Anyone else. He got her, got that off the hook. Then, so Jatila, when she heard the messenger was going out, Jatila came. She was very proud. And she came with Kutila. And they were very proud of their chastity. But when she went to bring the water with the thing, they made her hair. The doctor cut some of Krishna's hair with a knife, and somehow they put it together and made a line right across the Jamuna. So you had to walk on this hair, balance on this hair, go to the Jamuna, get the water in a pot with 1,000 holes and bring it back without any water spilling. So of course, then Kutila stepped on the bridge, stepped on the hair, fell in, she got wet, all the men had to run and drag her out. Then she was very embarrassed, and she said to the doctor, if this by this display it means I'm not chaste, then I say that even the daughter of the Himalayas, even Parvati, could not bring this water. That's how chaste I am. I make that statement. And then next in line was Jatila. She was very proud of her chastity. And also, she suffered the same fate. Then Yasoda was crying, because they were famous at being chaste. So Yasoda was crying helplessly. And he said, what will happen to my darling Krishna now? She said, doctor, you must know astrology. You help. So then Dr. Krishna said, okay. Then he bent down and he drew some lines on the ground. And he drew some yantras and tantras. Ah, yes. Yes, according to my calculation, there is one girl in Braja can do this. Her name is Radha. You should bring her. Then Radharani came and Tattikanchana Gaurangi Radhivinda. She's very of great effulgence came. Everyone was a doctor, was very pleased. Here, look, see, we chase girl. Then he bowed at her feet. And and he offered respects. And with permission of Nanda and the elders, and Radharani went to the Jamuna with her shakis. And she was very very humble, and she was meditating on Krishna and offering prayers to Surya or someone. And and all the bridge buses were saying, yeah, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, and do it. And she offered pranam to the bridge, the hair, and she stepped on it, and she walked on the bridge, the hair. Then she had the pot with 1,000 holes, and she put that in the Jamuna, and then she saw Krishna's face there, smiling at the reflection. Then Krishna extended his many hands, and with 1,000 fingers, he plugged all the holes up. So then she came back with this pot, and she told it, is there any water dripping? And the leader examined it all around. No, there's not one drop of water coming out. And everyone was saying, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Bishop Bhani Nandani ki jai. And then she took to the doctor, and he said, "Very loud, oh Radharani, in this Rajabhumi, you are sadhvi, the most chaste. Oh sadhvi, you are most fortunate. Simply by your indication, fate has acted like a menial servant." And all the other ladies, they failed. They was very happy. They were surprised, and they talking. Just see how we're also chaste ladies. We are serving the lotus feet of our husbands. Yet none of us was able to bring water from the Yamuna. But this Radharani, the daughter-in-law of Jatila, who is well known as Kalankini, within a moment she brought the water easily. And that is very difficult to understand the movement of fate. So then the doctor instructed Radharani to take 3 palms of water and place them in the dish. He then mixed some medicine with that water and offered it to Krishna. And immediately Krishna was cured. And everyone made loud sounds of jubilation and came forward to embrace and kiss Krishna. And then Isolde put Krishna on her lap, and she offered Radharani some milk and butter, but Radharani didn't take that. Then she offered the milk and butter to Krishna, and then offered to Radha, and then Radharani took that. And this way the chastity of Srimati Radharani was spread all over the universe as the most chaste lady. Radharani ki. So these are pleasure pastimes of the Lord, enacted by his own itcha, his own itcha shakti, his own desire. His desire is also has its own personality and identity. It's like, you know, his yoga maya, his energy, but she has her independence also. Everyone has independence in the spiritual world. So even Krishna's energies, they have personifications, and they have their own identity, and so they act on behalf of Krishna's pleasure. So that's why Krishna is sometimes bewildered. He doesn't know how things are going to work, how they're going to turn out, but by his yoga mayas and the different potencies, then they act for him. This way Krishna can also become surprised. Whereas if he acts as God, then he will never be surprised, because you're going to know everything, past, present, and future. You're going to do everything. So that's why this personality of Godhead, Krishna, in Goloka Vrindavan, is a supreme personality. And it can't be seen outside of Vrindavan, because it needs the ambience of Vrindavan and the devotees of the caliber of the Brijbasis to actually bring out that personality, because no one else can do it. So that's why it says Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, because when Krishna leaves Vrindavan to go to Dwarka, you can't see that. You can't see his supreme personality there, his supreme personality, because no one is of that, has that adhikar, that caliber of devotion, the intimacy of devotion, to actually draw that personality out of Krishna. So therefore it says Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Here's a letter written to Radharani, but I don't know it's from someone who is seeking Radharani's mercy. Oh Radha, instead of looking at me, please look at yourself. So far as I am concerned, I have become extremely malicious and fallen due to forgetting you from time immemorial. The world knows of my sins, but think of yourself. Where has your resolution to deliver even the most fallen souls without any cause disappeared? Just as a newborn child does not even recognize its mother, and yet the mother naturally fulfills all its needs. In the same way, I am also your ignorant, stubborn, and wicked child, who is surrounded by the horrible darkness of ignorance. You have never taken such a long time in coming to the rescue of any sinner. Why, then, are you delaying so much in my case? Dear Kishoriji, please think about this. One hears of many unworthy sons in the material world, but never of unworthy mothers. I don't have anything further to say. Jai Sisi Radhe Shyam Madhav. Jai Srimati Radharani ki. Jai Radhastami ki. Jai Sri Prabhupada ki. Jai Mahaprabhu Bhaktivinoda ki. Jai Thay Gopala Premanandi. Hare Hare Bhava. Hare Krishna.